Today's daf is Nida Yud Bet. Okay, be prepared. It's going to be an interesting daf with all sorts of somewhat troubling sugyot. Okay, we'll start with the beginning, at the top of the daf. That's where we're going up to, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. Rabbi Zera mi Rav Yehuda. Isha mau shetivdok atzma lebaala. Okay, if you remember, we were talking about a woman who's asuka b'taharot. Okay, we at the previous page we said, right, since she needs a bidika for taharot, they also instituted that she needs to check herself for her husband, and that was where the Mishnah talked about. Right, we said the Mishnah is talking about she has to check herself twice a day, shacharit and hashmashot, and before and after she has relations with her husband. And if she's in the family of kohanim, also before she eats truma, that's all a woman oseket b'taharot. So now Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Yehuda, what about checking her for Baala if she doesn't? She's not dealing with taharot. So Amar Leh, lo tivdok. No, she doesn't in fact need to check just in order to sleep with her husband, assuming she's not dealing with taharot. So now they say, v'tivdok u'mabakach. Why don't we just make her check? What's the big deal? Im ken, libo nokfo uporesh. We're worried that if she checks, and the husband, the assumption is he notices that she checks, he's going to think, oh, why is she checking? She must have concern that there's some blood there, in which case he's going to say, I don't really want to sleep with her because maybe she's actually getting her period. So therefore, because of this concern of libo nokfo, okay, you can see Tosfot explains it that way, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel, the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, at the very top there on the second line of Tosfot, Kevan d'ro'e ishto bodeket, since he sees her checking, Mechashev, he starts calculating, Shim lo higisha lo aita bodeket, right? If she didn't feel anything, she wouldn't have been checking, Lefish yodach chachamim lo tiknu livdok. It works like this, it's one built on the other. Since the rabbi said you don't have to, if a woman's going to go ahead and do it, the husband's going to get suspicious that why is she checking? Because she's concerned something happened.
This goes back to the lack of communication between husband and wife.
Yes, so we're going to talk a lot about that today. Baminei Rabbi Abba Merav Huna. So now we're going to have a similar question that Rabbi Abba asked Rav Huna, okay, rather than Rabbi Zera asked Rav Yehuda. Isha mau shetivdok atzma kashir veset. Does she have to check herself immediately after? Kashir veset, we learned already, means miyad, immediately after having sex. Kedei lechayev ba'ala chatat. In order, now this is a strange line, in order that what? Theoretically, if she sees blood immediately after having relations, what will happen? Well, the strange part about this line is that the husband is chayav chatat. In fact, they're both chayav chatat, because it says if a man sleeps with a woman when she's in nida, nichritu shnehem. If both of them get karet, then if they did a b'shogeg, they both have to bring a korban. Some people say, why lechayev et bala korban? Right? One could just say they were sort of looking at the world through his perspective. But also, who pays for her korban? She doesn't have her own money, so he pays for both korbanot. So theoretically, he's chayav to pay the money, at least, for both of the korbanot. So, they say, maybe she should check herself immediately after in order to check whether he's chayav a korban chatat or not. And if they were to see blood immediately after, the assumption is, for sure, she was already bleeding, and therefore he bring a chatat. So, Amar Leh, mi mishkacha la lebdika kashir veset, is there even a possibility, okay, now here we get into what exactly is miyad, okay? Here we're going to see one opinion. In fact, there's a bunch of Tanaitic sources that discuss different explanations of how short a time period are we talking about? Meaning, again, the assumption is if they see immediately, then it was obvious the blood was there before. If there's some sort of break, and the question is how long a break, then we can assume that maybe she started bleeding after, and then you wouldn't need to bring a chatat, or she wouldn't either, because she wasn't actually in need at the time. So the answer is there even a possibility to do a bedika kashir veset? There's no possibility of such. Why? It's like an impossibility. You can't do it. Why? Bahatanya, because it says in the Braita, again, this is one version of what Shiur Veset is. Ezehu Shiur Veset, Mashal Lishamash Ve'ej Umdim Bitsara Mashkof. Okay, an interesting vision. You have the man's organ there, and you have the Bidika cloth standing at the doorpost. Okay, it's an analogy for the woman's body. Biyitziyat HaShamash Nichnas Eid. He goes out, the Eid goes in, Have Veset. That's Veset. Okay, now, so Havi Veset Shambru, Lekinuach Velo Lebedika. So, what are we basically saying? In order for it to happen immediately, so he goes out, the egg comes in, but once it goes all the way internally and she starts checking, that's already going to be too long. So therefore, they say the only shiur veset that could be is l'kinyuach, meaning she just wipes herself. She doesn't actually do an internal examination. So therefore, it's impossible to actually do a bedika. So they ask, or they say, oh, elamau shetikanech. Maybe she just needs to, in other words, maybe she should wipe herself there, not do an internal, because that's already going to take too long. And you will pass the time of shiur veset. And then, if you pass the time of shiur veset, there'll be no chiyuv to bring a korban. So what they were asking was, maybe she should wipe herself on, externally, you know, right then. And if she would find blood, then she'd know it came from inside, and then she'd be chayav, they'd both be chayav to bring the korban. That was his question. Okay, so now they say, ika da amre. Some people say, actually, the question was, hacha ba amine. Really, the question was this. Isha mau shetivdok atzma kedei l'chayev bala asham talui. Again, if she does a bedika and they find blood after shiur veset, which means, let's say she does a bedika, it's already beyond the time, but it's a written, what happens now? It's safek at that point. Maybe she already was bleeding, maybe she wasn't. Now at that point, what would you be chayav? You'd be chayav and asham taloi, because asham taloi is if you're a safek chayav achatat or not. So maybe you'd have to bring that asham that you bring when you're not sure if you did something, that if you did it for sure, you'd be chayav chatat. But this case, you're not sure. Amar lo, lo tivdo. Now, which way the question is, the answer he gives him is lo tivdo. You do not need to check. So then they say, v'tivdo kumabakach, but why doesn't she just check and, you know, so what? Like, it's always better. So again, they say, imken libo no kvovu porish. If he knows that she's going to check immediately after it, maybe she'll find blood, again, he's not going to want to have relations with her because, you know, it'll get him all worked up. Oh, maybe there's going to be blood. Okay, so right now, just because we're going to see other things, we're now, this sugya basically seems to indicate, don't do bediko, really, if you don't need to, right? In the case where you're dealing with taharot and you're already doing bedikot all the time, then I guess the assumption also is the whole issue of libo nokfo is not relevant because women were just doing bedikot all the time, so it was just totally standard. Whereas once you leave the realm of taharot and you're not dealing with taharot, then to do bedikas before and after having relations is already problematic because it's going to cause all sorts of tensions and worry, and therefore we don't recommend it. Okay, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about the woman who is oseket b'taharot, and in the middle of the Mishnah, it kind of gave a summary, and it started telling you all the times. At the beginning, talked about you're supposed to be checking, and the middle talked about, or the end, about when. So you do it pa'amayim, shacharit uvein hashmashot, u'b'sha'ashi overet l'shamesha b'ta, and when she's about to have relations with her husband. So now we're going to deal with that line. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Zehu eden shel tznuot. Okay, this mission is describing what the tznuot do. Now, whenever you say this is for the tznuot, right, in this context, it really means those who are extra careful, right? It doesn't mean sanua in the lashon of modest. It's, you know, those who are extra careful. It sounds like what? Like you don't have to do it, right? It sounds like once you say only tznuot, it sounds like, it's kind of like saying chasidim, right? It's midah chasidut. So amar le Rabbi Ami bar Mama le Rabbi Ami. Tana tane tzrichot va'a tane tznuot. How could, in our Mishnah, what does it say? Upamim tzricha liyot bodeket shacharit uben hashmashot u'b'shashi overet l'shamesh b'ta. Notice what word the Mishnah used. Tzricha, she has to. So the Mishnah says tzrichot, and you're saying tznuot, which sounds like you don't have to, and only those who want to do extra. So what is the answer? Amar le shani omer, kol ha-makayem divrei chachamim nikra tzanua. When I said tznuot, I meant those who keep to the words of the rabbis. I didn't mean midat chasidut. I meant this is what the rabbis said, and if you keep what the rabbis said, you're called tzanua. That was the term he used, but it really means you have to do it. He just called them tznuot. So Amar Rava, v'sheino makayem divrei chachamim tzanua hu delo mikre, harasha lo mikre. In other words, so what are you saying? You're saying zeu eden shel tznuot, but you're not saying if you don't do it, you're a rasha. But theoretically, if what you're saying is tznuah is equivalent to saying you do what the rabbis say, right? Okay, then if you don't do what the rabbis say, then theoretically the opposite of tznuah should be rasha, right? And that doesn't seem to be what you're saying. Right? When you said zeu eden shel tznuot, you didn't say, but if you don't do it, you're a rasha. And theoretically, that's what they should be saying. So Ella Amarava. So now what's he going to say? That when he said Zeu Eden Shel Tznuot, he was referring to how they did the Bedika, or with what, I should say, they did a Bedika, as opposed to what the Mishnah says, which is the standard. Okay, so there's the standard. In other words, what we're basically saying is, it sounds like he's saying there's people who did something extra, and then there's the regular people. So what's the distinction between the people who did extra and the regular people? V'sheino makayim divrei chachamim, sorry, I went back. Ela amarava tznuot, ad shebadku bo atzman lifnei tashmish, aid shebadku bo atzman lifnei tashmish ze, ein bodkot bo lifnei tashmish acher. They were super careful with their eidei bedika. Eidei bedika is what you call a bedika cloth. The bedika cloth that they used to check, they would never use again, even if it came out clean. The assumption is it never comes out totally clean. Even if it's kind of clear, it's still got something on it, and therefore they make sure never to reuse the same bedika cloth. Like this, again, in our world, it's hard to imagine, but you can imagine in those days, people didn't have tons of things and items, and they didn't do laundry all the time like we do. But b'she'inan snuot, bod kot v'lo echpat lahen. Okay, the ones who were less snuot, they still check, but they reuse their bedika cloths. Okay, they were less careful about it. Okay, gufa. Now we're going to go back to something we mentioned yesterday. Okay, if you remember, at the end of yesterday's daf, we brought, Shmuel had said, if you remember, okay, let's go back for a little bit, this is important. So toward the second third of the page, there's two dots, pa'amayim, shitei tzricha, amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, lo shanu ele l'tarot, aval l'bala muteret. Remember what did he say? This whole thing of requiring bedikot, okay, this is Shmuel, remember this? Shmuel says the whole issue of requiring bedikot is just for those who are oskot b'taharot. Okay? Women who are not dealing with taharot do not need to bedika. But if you're dealing with taharot, then you need to do the bedika in the morning and the evening, and you need a bedika before and after having relations with your husband. So, here comes. Then, oh, so wait, before we get to our thing, then at the bottom we said, remember, then we said, but doesn't what he said appear in the Mishnah already? Kol anashim b'cheskat tahara l'baleihen. And therefore, right, and therefore it sounds like they don't need to do bedikot, right? And then we explained some distinctions there. And then they said, but didn't also, we have a statement that Rabbi Zeira said, now we're six, 7 lines or 8 lines from the bottom of the end of yesterday's daf, the end of Yud Aleph Amud, I bet. To Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya, Amar Shmuel, Isha Shein Leveset, Asura L'Shamesh Ad Shtivdok, V'ukimna Ba'asuka B'Taharot. There they made a statement in the name of Shmuel, and they said, she's forbidden until she checks. She's forbidden to her husband. But they said that's only if she's dealing with taharot. So didn't Shmuel already say what we said he said here? Okay, it's the same thing, right? So then they said, right, they gave an answer. They write the word they say, chad michlal chaver titmar. One was taken from the other, okay? Meaning Shmuel just said it once. It's not like he said it in two different situations. It's just that one was learned from the other. So now we're going to go back to that statement. Okay, so Amar Gufa, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya, Amar Shmuel, Isha she'en laveset asura l'shamesh ad shetivdok. And then that's only if she's oseket b'taharot. Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya. Okay, so now Rabbi Zera said this in the name of Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya, who said it in the name of Shmuel. But now Rabbi Zera himself asked Rabbi Yirmiya about this. Ein laveset. Okay, so now, what did he say? Isha she'en la veset. Now, specifically, it's a woman who doesn't have a regular cycle. So he says, so what are you saying? Ein la veset by a bedika? If she doesn't have a regular cycle, she needs a bedika. But yesh la veset lo by a bedika? It sounds like you're saying the only person who needs a bedika is, number one, she has to be a second b'taharot, and number two, she has to have an irregular cycle. So he says, are you saying that someone with a regular cycle doesn't need a bedika? Right, we didn't make that distinction before when we said that Shmuel said anyone who's second b'taharot has to check. So Amar Leh, he says like this. Here's my distinction between the reason why the statement was said, ein la veset, was because yesh la veset has a bit of a different law. And here we start getting into things that are a little hard to swallow. Amar Leh, yesh la veset, eira baya bedika, yeshena lo baya bedika. If she has a regular cycle, then if her husband comes to have sex with her and she's awake, then she needs to check. But if she's sleeping, she doesn't need to check. Okay, now, number one, right, what's he doing having sex with her while she's sleeping? And even if you say, well, it's just bothering me personally, maybe it didn't bother them, but there's actually a halacha that it's asur for a husband to sleep with his wife, to have sex with his wife while she's asleep. Okay? So, some of them freshmen explain what we mean is she was asleep and kind of woke up and was half asleep. And then, because she doesn't have a regular veset, sorry, because she does have a regular, and it's not the time of her veset, so we don't require her to get her act together and get out of bed and go check, you know. And here, maybe you do see a little, and that's, once we saw, what are you talking about? He's sleeping with her, you know, he's having a relationship with her while she's sleeping. You know, it sounds like they mean, oh, well, she's sort of waking up. Again, this is one way of reading it. She's sort of waking up, and, you know, and we don't require her to do a bedika if she doesn't have a veset. But ain la veset, Bein era, bein yishena, by a bedika. So therefore, when he said, Isha she'en laveset, asura l'shamesh ad she'tivdo, he meant whether she's awake or whether she's sleeping, even if she's half asleep and just woke up and wants to sleep with her husband, so she's got to get out of bed and go check herself. Okay, maybe she doesn't necessarily need to go out of bed. She also could do it right there, but anyway. Still a bit of a headache. I'm a rabbi. So Rava now says, I'm going to infer from the fact that this was the answer he gave him and not a different possible answer of distinguishing between Yesh Laveset or Ein Laveset, I'm going to come to the following conclusion. He says, V'leimale, you could have said, Yesh Laveset l'taharot baya b'dika, l'ba'ala lo baya b'dika. But Ein Laveset afilu l'ba'ala nami baya b'dika. You could have said what? If you have a regular cycle, then we're only going to require you in the case, like we said before, if you're osek et b'taharot. But leba'ala, now it's a little tricky how to understand this. That means if you're osek et b'taharot, you have a regular cycle, you're dealing with taharot, now you're going to need a bedika even for your husband, okay? Even before having relations. However, leba'ala, but if you're not osek et b'taharot and you're only, right, you're not one of those women that's osek et b'taharot, and therefore you don't normally do bedikas, then leba'ala lo baya bedika. However, in other words, this whole thing about what he's suggesting is, theoretically, you could have answered that the distinction is, okay, I'll just make it simpler, in the case where you're not osek et b'taharot, whether or not you need a bedika depends on whether you have a veset or don't have a veset. So what he's saying is you could have said the distinction is yesh la veset l'taharot baya bedika, but not leba'ala, meaning, again, we're only talking about leba'ala. It's just a matter of are you osek et b'taharot or you're not osek et b'taharot and therefore you're called leba'ala only. Surely should say leba'ala bilvad, right? If you're only dealing with your husband and you don't have an issue of taharot, then you wouldn't need a bedika. But ein la veset, if you have no regular cycle, then afilu leba'ala name baya bedika. You could have distinguished that way, and from the fact that he didn't answer him that way, what can you infer? Midelo amar lehachi, since he didn't say that, shma mina kasav Shmuel kol leba'ala lo baya bedika. From here you can infer that Shmuel in fact doesn't hold, right? Again, going back to what we said about Shmuel in the first place, only if you're osek et b'taharot, it doesn't matter, yesh laveset, ein laveset, no matter what, you don't need a bedika if you're not osek et b'taharot. Okay? So all these bedikas are only for someone who's osek et b'taharot, and he learns that from the fact that they didn't answer when the line came, the name of Shmuel, about a woman, yesh laveset, we could have said, I'm sorry, ein laveset, needs to check, we could have said, maybe that means when she's not dealing with taharot, and they say, no, in fact, that since they didn't answer that, it must be he holds that way. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, here we get to another interesting sugya. Chamarin upoalim v'habaim mi beit ha'avel mi beit ha'mishteh. These are people now. Beit ha'avel u'beit ha'mishteh usually went 7 days. Okay, or donkey riders or workers. These are people who leave their house for a while and they come back at the end of the week probably. Nashim, right, like all the men who Ranana who travel for the week and come home for Shabbatot. Nishehem lahem b'cheskat tahara. So when they come home, they can assume their wives are tahorot. Uba'in v'shohini mahem, and they can go be with them. Bein yishenot, bein erot. Again, we get back to this, whether they're sleeping, whether they're awake. Okay, now, comes the bright end. It says, though, b'med dvarim amurim, but in which case are we referring to? Shini cham b'cheskat tahara. But this is only if when they left, the women were taharot. Aval hini cham b'cheskat tum'ah, la'olam yitme'ah ad tomar lo tahorani. Okay, we saw this before, right? But if they leave when she's b'cheskat tum'ah, then she has to say to Orani, meaning if she's half asleep and she doesn't say that, then he can't have relations with her. V'ha-Shmuel b'may mokele. So now what does this have to do with that? Anything? Well, they say now, according to Shmuel, who says that a woman who's not oseket p'taharot, So now we're going to assume that what? We're talking about a woman who is oseket p'taharot, okay? U'b'may mokele. So now what's the case? I'b'sheyesh la'veset, if she has a regular veset, kashya era. And what did we say? A woman who has a regular cycle, it's true she doesn't have to check when she's sleeping, but she does have to check when she's awake, and it says here she doesn't. V'ibe she'en la veset, kashya ben era ben yeshena. But if she has a veset, then we're going to have even more problems, because there we said if she has no regular cycle, she has to check whether she's awake or whether she's asleep. So what are the answer? La'olam b'sheyesh la veset. It must be she had a veset. Okay, now we're going to learn something interesting. B'kevan she'tav'a, ein l'cha b'dika g'dola mizo. Now we're going to say basically that it's talking about a woman who has a regular cycle. Now if she has a regular cycle, so we can be a little makeif, as rather than if she doesn't have a regular cycle, because she's irregular, she could possibly see at any time. And what's the kula here? It's very interesting. The assumption is that when he comes back from being away all week, he kind of has a lot of time he spends with her, kind of as prelude to having relations. And that's the word kevan shetava. In other words, he kind of tries to talk to her and get her interested. And the assumption is he's going to do that more. Now, I read up about this because I was trying to figure out what exactly situation they're describing. In the Mishnah Eretz Yisrael, they described that what basically they say that they're describing a situation that they want to be makel to the family, you know, to the husband and wife when he just gets back from vacation, that they don't want to, or from work, he's been away all week, to start instituting all these requirements that he has to go check in. Okay, and therefore they said, well, if he starts talking to her and there's like a long prelude before they have relations, that is the biggest bidika. Because why? Because if she has a regular veset and she doesn't have any reason to think otherwise, in other words, because there's time there, so she's aware of what's going on and she's aware of thinking, you know, maybe I need to, again, it's not exactly clear what, this line bichlal is a little difficult, just because he's extending the amount of time before having relations with her, how that affects that it's really, it's as if she did a bidika. It's this crazy fear, like, what do you mean? A bidika's a bidika. She certainly didn't check. But somehow that extended time period makes her think about, you know. And also, if we talk about communication between husband and wife, the point is they're communicating more here, so if she had an issue, she would have said something. I just want to point out, there's a little bit of a difficulty in this whole sugya, because they're comparing, in my mind, apples and oranges, and nobody's really relating to this. They're comparing, does the husband have to ask the wife for you to hora? And they're assuming that that's equated with, does the wife have to check? They're two different things. One is the husband's perspective, one is the wife's perspective. And what they're trying to say here is that they don't want to require the woman to go do her bidika right before having a relationship with her husband on the night he just came back, because it'll delay things, it'll break things, it'll, you know, we want to kind of make it a little nicer for them, or easier or something like that. But on the other hand, theoretically, she could have checked before he came home. She could have checked, in other words, I guess the point is the check has to happen right before they have relations, and therefore when they're having this long conversation before, you know, again, is it a conversation they're having? It's unclear exactly what the description of this tav'a is. Right, it could be foreplay. Right, it's not clear. It's not exactly clear what's going on here. And how, and the question is, if it's foreplay or whatever it might be, how is that considered actually a bedika? Ein lecha bedika gdola mizo. It's not really a bedika. So it's a little bit, right? So Rashi says here, if you want to just look at one explanation, she says, Elokim le de teorai have a badka bedika. Right, he's saying if she wasn't Torah, she would have checked. That's the assumption. There's a long time and she would have, you know, made sure to check. Okay. There's also an assumption here that when he's away, like one of the things they brought up in Mishnah Yisrael, and I also have a question about this, when he's away, he loses track of where her cycle is, and that to a certain extent, when he's around, he knows, he's aware of what her cycle is, which is a good question, right? Does he... It's interesting to think that maybe he really would know what her cycle is when he's around. Right, because especially if she's dealing with tarot, so he's aware of what's going on. When he comes home, he hasn't looked at her in the kitchen and saw, is she touching things? Does she know what's the situation? So therefore, that also becomes more of an issue when he comes home.
Even if weren't dealing with tarot, their lives were so governed by tarot and tumor. The way you dressed, the way you sat, obvious pretty quickly.
Right. So according to this, though, it's less obvious places. When he comes back and he hasn't really seen her. It could be he gets home and she's in bed already and then he doesn't really see her. So that's this whole Ben Era, Ben Yishena. So it's what gives you a little bit of a light into, even though we can't exactly understand it, but we can see different options about, what their lives were like and what was going on.
What bothers me is that if he goes away for an extent for any time period, then he has the chazaka that whatever state she was in before.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows that we're talking about a monthly cycle that's very dynamic, a 19-day cycle.
Right.
So how can you leave for X amount of days?
It's very difficult to understand that whole thing. And that really, I view that in the realm of laws of chazaka and disconnected with reality. That, it's... Now, again, you have the woman who's supposed to tell him. The assumption, she doesn't say otherwise. It's more if he left and she's because Katsumaya, he has to check. But otherwise, again, the assumption is that the woman, that's the other issue. The focus in most of this Masechet is on the woman and her responsibilities. Here, all of a sudden, they throw some responsibility on the husband, theoretically, and say, you also have a part in this and you have to check sometimes. But not always, right? Sometimes it's like in certain situations, we'll throw the responsibility on you and others not. And here, there's a crossover between the two and they're kind of as if they're the same. His checking and her checking seem to be the same. His checking means she has to do a bedika, sort of, but it's not necessarily clear that that's the case. So it's a lot of complicated things here to understand. Amar le Rav Papa le Rav. Mau le meba ki hamatnita. So he's asking here, can we go according to this braita, basically, that we can assume that the tvi'ah of the Baal, the husband, kind of whether it's foreplay or whatever his conversation is having with her and extending the time before they have relations, is sufficient to count as a bedika. So Amale, so Dani, which is a way of saying like a tamich chacham, lo demeganya ba'ahe. Okay, he says to him, he says, she shouldn't check herself. Why? Because she'll become miganya migune to his face. Okay, now again, here's a little bit like libo nokfo. Now, why is this different from libo nokfo? And here's where I think the connection comes in that we were missing a little bit, which is what's the connection between him asking her and her doing bedikas? His asking her means that he's basically requiring her to do a bedika. Now, why did we say libo nokfo in the previous sugya? Because we said, remember we read in Rabbeinu Hananel that was quoted in the Tosfot, that if she goes to check, he's going to worry, maybe she was bleeding and that's why she's checking. In this case, the husband's requiring her to check. So it's not that she is checking and therefore he's worried. It wouldn't cause libo nokfo because it came from him. However, it would cause her to become a little despised a little or, migune, like disgusting in his eyes, because even though maybe she needs to do a bedika, we're going to say, but if she does the bedika, he's going to all of a sudden, again, it's like it's similar thing to libo nokfo, he's going to start worrying, well, she checked now, she didn't see, but maybe she's going to see, and they'll get him all worked up. This is a good example of they wanted to, what we have here is a lot of things going on. There's a need to have her check, but if you remember, the whole need to have her check really comes from taharot. They extended it to relations with her husband, but then they minimized it in cases where they thought that it would cause discomfort, it would cause them to think about it too much, right? The real word to use is obsessive. They didn't want people to become obsessive about it, even though you read that Mishnah and you say that's pretty obsessive, right? So what's going on here also is different generations and different people. In other words, there were a lot of different viewpoints about this, and as usual, the Gemara tries to stick them all together and make them all work together, but theoretically it sounds a lot like, and we're going to see this later on in today's staff, that there were a lot of different viewpoints about this, even in the Tkufat HaTanaim and certainly in the Amoraim, and not everybody, right, they didn't want to keep what the other opinions, you know, it was sort of, it looks like a very strict system, but then all of a sudden it starts to become more loose. We're going to see even earlier in the Tanaim, there was some crazy opinions that also are not going to sit so well with us. Amar Rav Kahana. I love this line. Sha'altinu la'an inshe beite derav papa u'derav huna bere derav Yoshua. I asked the following question to the inshe beite, what does that mean? To the wives of, okay, this is fascinating. Rav Kahana went to the wives of Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yoshua. Okay, he went to the two of their wives and said the following question. Ki atu rabana mi bei rav mitzar chelichu bedika. When they come back from the yeshiva after being there all week, do they make you do a bedika? Va'amrule, and they said to me, lo. Okay? They said, no, in fact, our husbands don't require us. So here comes, right? It's a crazy, right? Rav Kahana starts going to the wives and asking them. So the Gemara asks, why didn't he just ask Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua? So here's an interesting answer. Dilma inu deka machmira yanaf shayhu. He thought that maybe they were machmir on themselves. And it's, what did they really want to know? They wanted to know, are they machmir in their own houses? So they were worried that maybe they'd say something, but they do otherwise. So therefore, they wanted to know, what do they really do themselves? And by doing that, the only way to get a real answer out of the rabbis was to actually ask their wives what happens. Because you ask the rabbi, right? The rabbi will give you whatever opinion he wants to give you. It's not necessarily what he himself does. But if you ask their wives, first of all, the assumption is the wives aren't going to start getting into halachic discourse with them. And, you know, the wives are just going to say practically what happens. Interesting that the wives weren't embarrassed to talk about this with Rav Kahana. So it's an interesting.
Say they weren't.
What? It doesn't say what?
It doesn't say they weren't.
It's interesting that he.
Well, they
asked,
said. They answered
the question.
They answered the question.
Answer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It was an easy yes and no question. Yeah.
He even asked a woman.
Right. That's the whole thing is fascinating that he went and asked a personal question. You know, again, it might show that we think of these bedikas as very personal. Again, it's all about understanding what was going on in their times. Like that whole thing that still is in my head about the women, the older women checking the younger, you know, the younger girls. And it's so hard for us to imagine, but it could be they just view that as just, it's a part of their lives. They didn't view it as anything, you know, more than that. It was just, it was like keeping kosher, you know. It's just like a basic thing. So that's also possible.
But he also asked the wrong question.
Why?
Because as it says afterwards, he asked them, do your husbands require you? But if they were snu'ot women, then they would have done it without the husbands requiring them. And that they didn't tell. They just answered whether the husbands required them.
Ah, that's interesting. They didn't ask you do it. They just said, do they require you? That's interesting. That's also interesting, yeah. Although I guess the assumption is, since your husband's the rabbi, he must know the halacha and he must tell you what you need to do or not. Right, that's how I read it. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Isha she'en laveset as. Okay, here comes the difficult. If anything before was it, wait for this one. Okay, Isha she'en laveset. Okay, all you women out there who don't have regular cycles, which I assume is a lot of people. Okay, get this. Asura l'shamesh. You can't have sex with your husband. Ve'en la lo k'tuba ve'lo perot ve'lo mezono ve'lo b'laot. You don't get your ketubah money because basically you're creating a situation where your husband can't have relations with you. You don't get peirot, meaning all the stuff that you brought into the marriage and then there were revachim, like the things that you're supposed to get back after, not mizonot. You don't get food. You don't get belaot. You don't get, if he used clothes that came from yours and now they're worn out, he doesn't have to replace them. V'yotzi, and he can divorce you. V'lo machzir olamit, and he can't ever remarry you. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Wow. That is crazy, right? So he's basically saying, if you don't have a veset, now, the assumption is if you don't have a veset, so you can always potentially be getting your period. However, during the Zava days, you won't necessarily, but even though you're allowed to sleep with your husband during the Zava days, where we're assuming you're clearly not going to get your period then, Rabbi Meir said, because you're going to spend a lot of days of marriage not being allowed to sleep with your husband, we're basically, right, and this, by the way, matches, if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Rabbi Meir and many sugyas, chayish lemi'uta. He's worried about the minority of cases. So he's saying, what's the minority of cases? Yeah, the minority of cases is that at any given time you might get your period, and we're therefore, we're choshish for that possibility, and therefore you're not allowed to stay with your husband because you basically can't have relations with him. Rabbi Chanina ben Antuginus Omer, thankfully we have some other opinions, Mishameshe b'shnei edim. Hein Yiftua, Hein Tiknua. Okay, different explanation to this, but she has related, right? She can have sex as long as she checks, again, either before and after, or he checks after and she checks after. Hein Yiftua, Hein Tiknua. They can mess her up and they can also fix her, right? They can mess her up by saying, oh, you can't have sex with your husband tonight, or, right, if she does it before, or Hein Tiknua, or they could say, oh, they can prove that you can, okay? Or there's other ways, what exactly Hein Yiftua, Hein Tiknua? Could be they mess her up that, you know, she finds out it's a problem, but they also Tiknua, because then she could, let's say it's after sex and she's bleeding, then they could bring a korban to fix the situation. Mishum Abba Hanan Amru Oy Lo Lebala. Okay, we're going to have to understand what who's he referring to when they say that, right? Never husband of this wife who doesn't have a regular cycle. So now we're going to go back and understand Rabbi Meir. Asura l'shamesh, dilma mekalkelet leh, because maybe she'll mess him up. Okay, by the way, some people read this sugya. If you've ever heard of the term dam machmat tashmish, okay, that there's a concern that maybe having relations brings on the period. That's a concern specifically among women that don't have a veset. And some people say that that's what this whole sugya is referring to. That we're concerned that the tashmish brings on her period. And therefore, like the kofetzet, right, that some external thing will do it. And then they describe this, and then we can narrow this a little, because then what they're really saying is, if there's dam machmat tashmish, then, and there the sources talk about, you have to divorce the wife, because if every time after you have sex, it brings on her period, well then, you're never going to be able to have sex, because you're basically causing her to get her period, which means that you're bo'el nida, and that's a problem. So some people view this all as referring to that. And again, what the halacha says is, well, you could create a chazaka that three times it doesn't happen, and then you can assume that it doesn't happen ever, and you're fine. But it's possible that that's, again, it's a little hard to understand what exactly they're referring to, because it's hard for us to imagine, what, a woman who doesn't have a regular cycle, it's not like she can necessarily get her period at any given time. It's a little strange. And then to go so extreme as he has to divorce her, and he can't take her back and all that. So, okay, let's read on. So he can't sleep with her because maybe he'll mekalkelele, you know, maybe she'll mess him up, meaning he'll end up sleeping with her when she's in nida. Ve'ein la ktuba kevan de lo chazi lebia, because a woman who he can't have relations with, basically the ktuba becomes invalid. It's like a breach of contract. Now, again, it's not exactly her fault, but it's a breach of contract. Late la ktuba, and therefore late la ktuba. That's all because tnei ktuba ki ktuba damu. Those are all conditions of the ktuba, and all the conditions of the ktuba are just like, have the same status as the ktuba itself. What about yotzi velo yachzir olami? Why can't he ever take her back? So they say, pshita, it's obvious. And it's, if she doesn't have a cycle, well, then it won't help him to take her back later. So they say, lo tzricha dehadra ve'etkana. No, they're worried that maybe she'll get onto a regular cycle at some point. And then ma'u detema lihadre, you might have thought maybe he could then take her back, right? He can remarry her once she gets on a regular cycle. Kamash malan, but you can't do that. Why? It's teaching you can't do that. Why? Because dzimnin da'azla uminsaba umitakna. Maybe she'll marry someone else. Then she'll get on a regular cycle. And somehow he'll know this. Va'amar, well, I guess she could get pregnant and then it would be obvious to him. Ve'amar ilu hayiti, well, I guess no, even though in a regular cycle she'd get pregnant. So yeah, I don't know what that's saying. Ve'amar ilu hayiti yodea shekachaya, afilu hayitim notinim li me'amana lo hayiti megarsha. It's a great line, right? Had I known that before, you could have paid me all the money in the world. I never would have divorced my wife. I only divorced her because I was in this halachic situation, right? So therefore, what happens when he says that? And then it turns out what he's basically saying is, my get was a mekach ta'ut. I didn't really ever mean to give her the get. The get is canceled. Now she's already married to someone else. It turns out retroactively she was married when she married the second guy. And therefore, her children can become mamzerim. And therefore, to avoid that situation, they say this is a definitive divorce. You can never take her back.
A man can claim retroactively that a get was mekach ta'ut.
So, and again, you could, what the mefreshim talk about, and I think this makes more sense, that really what we're saying is the get was given al tnai. That he could theoretically be saying, well, I gave the get upon the condition because she doesn't have a regular cycle. And then if it turns out she has a regular cycle, the get theoretically, and that's whether it really would be, you know, it just opens up a door for, now this is a good example where they're trying to avoid one problem, but in the end, it's really unfortunate because let's say she doesn't get remarried and she wants to go back to her husband. It creates a bad situation, the fact that they say, lo yachzir olamit. You know, they're not really thinking about the poor wife here. You know, who's going to marry her after this? And there's always such a concern about women and who's going to marry them. And especially here, you were married, you're now divorced, you're already not considered a great place in society, and you have this irregular cycle, so no one's going to want to marry you, you know, if you know that you got divorced. Again, whether we call this irregular cycle or we say it's really damach mat tashmish, that makes it a little more sense. Abba Hanan amro oilo lebala. Okay, he said, it should be amar, oilo lebala. Ika de amre, some people say, le Rabbi Meir amar le. He was talking about Rabbi Meir, debay le vuyek tubata. He says, no, he's saying, I agree with Rabbi Meir that he has to divorce her. However, I think that she still gets her ketubah money. So he says, really, oy labala, he has to divorce her and he has to pay her the ketubah money. Ika de amre, the Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus kamerle. He was really referring to Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, de mikakelele. Because Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus said, she could still stay married, but he's saying, she's going to mess up the husband here and there because she doesn't have this regular cycle, and therefore he might end up having sex with her while she gets her period. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Here comes Shmuel again, and then right, Rav Yehuda, and then Shmuel. Who, remember, what did he say? Only if you're a second petaro do you have to do bedikot, otherwise you don't. And he says halacha k'Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus. Okay, he says we pass on like Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus. His mekel here, just like his mekel there. However, there's a bit of a problem because what did he say? You don't have to check just for your husband. And according to Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, you have to check. And this is why I say there were clearly different things going on, because in the Kfarat Tanaim here, you see these three opinions. Nobody's mekel ad kedekach that you don't need to check. Sounds like you always need to check if you don't have a regular cycle. So they say, ubimai, what case was he referring to, the halacha k'Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus? Ib asuka b'taharot, if you're saying it's only a woman who's dealing with taharot, well, ha'am or shmo chadazimna. He already said that before. He doesn't need to say that again. He already told us regarding your husband, she doesn't need to do checks in general. So therefore, what do they say? Okay, and then they said, right, and that statement we said was only tarot. So again, we have either it's asuka b'tarot and he already said it, or it's not a sukkah b'tarot, and that doesn't make any sense because he says you don't need to. So man de matneha, lo matneha. They answer that clearly the one who had that didn't hear that, and therefore they said it twice. And in the end, even though this breita sounds very machmir, that if a woman who doesn't have a veset has to check all the time, if not get divorced from her husband, when it gets to Shmuel already, he basically paskins, this is not happening. Only a woman has to kabbata road has to do checks, and if she doesn't, she doesn't have to check. She doesn't have to check before, after, any of that. Hadron alach shamay omer, very tough parak to understand the reality, tough to understand exactly how women functioned in those days and were checking all the time. But at least what you see here is this move toward a more mekel approach and limiting. You have to also remember, in the time of the Amoraim already, right, Tuman Tara was much less of an issue. There were still people who kept things, Al Tarata Kodesh, if you remember, right? Al Tarata Truma, and they were more makpid. But still, the Tarot over time becomes less of an issue, and therefore they minimize this whole thing of Bedikot until we get to nowadays, where certainly these checks, again, I don't know if anybody, people don't do it, but the majority, you know, the mainstream psak is that women don't have to do these Bedikot in general, and thankfully for that. Okay.